time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Welcome to it. Roundtable for this Tuesday, the 9th of June. Joining us, political reporter for the Globe and Mail, Ottawa Bureau, Marika Walsh. Hello, Marika.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Did I read correctly that you cracked the code on your Wi-Fi at your condo and you figured out that if you had the patio doors open, you got good signal?
Yes. It has changed my life. My COVID life, I tell you.
It is literally the small things nowadays. Trevor Mayo, political really commentator and man that's jumped out of the lake long enough to leave the floaty behind and join us. How are you, pal?
Howdy, I'm great. Thanks for having me as well.
I'm just a social media stalker. I cannot wait.
Are you actually right now?
My Instagram feed is being dictated to the News Talk 1010 listeners.
Welcome, you both. Welcome.
All right. Well, today we had a big announcement from the federal government and the prime minister, who seems to be moving from Daddy Warbucks to give me back the money. So the Liberals have announced they're imposing tighter rules for SIR penalties. This is what the PM had to say about how many Canadians are going to have to go after.
Hopefully, we will not have to use them very much at all, because the vast majority of people are of good faith and just trying to support their families and trying to do the right things to get us all through this. But we do need the tools to go after those who deliberately choose to take advantage of people and systems' vulnerability in a time of crisis.
So for those wondering what the penalties are, it's up to $5,000 you can be fined and other things, including double the amount of income support claimed or a period of imprisonment of up to 6 months. This can happen if you fail to resume self-employment, if you decline a reasonable job offer, or you don't want to go back to work. Marika, what do you think of this announcement today? We know the NDP came out and criticized it. Do you think the PM's on the right track, or is he going to get a lot of pushback?
I think this is one of those devil in the details moments for the Liberals. They're going to need the support of at least one opposition party in order to pass the bill in Parliament. So they're going to have to find some support, and that could mean change is still to come. The Prime Minister really stressed several times today that his focus and his government's focus isn't going to be on quote-unquote honest mistakes. So, for example, if you applied for the employment support and the wage subsidy at the same time, but more if it was a deliberate, I think he called them deliberate fraudsters. So I think they are trying to soften the language that we saw from the bill and try and allay concerns that some people might have about navigating this very fast-moving and complex system during the pandemic. But again, because they need support from opposition parties, I'm curious what, if anything, changes, because the Conservatives have previously been in favor of more restrictions on it.
Trevor, we saw Jagmeet Singh come out today, the NDP leader, and basically say going through the criminal system as opposed to the tax system is the error, and that you're going to basically, the people that aren't going to know these rules or comply are racialized Canadians, low-income Canadians. Do you think that that is an issue and you expect that to change?
When it came out today, I was like, okay, fine. Like, how does this actually change? We already knew that if you had got the program and you actually weren't eligible for it, you're going to have to pay it back, or you'd be taxed out of it in next year, right? Like, you'd be paying it back in one way or another. And so today just feels a little bit strongly worded. And then when you actually go through and it's like, well, most people are still just going to only have to pay back the conditions in terms of what they're talking about, who they're going to go after. Like, the language is pretty opaque in terms of reasonable job offer, when it's reasonable to do so. Like, they're not going to get hit with a $5,000 fine unless it's, you mean, a gross violation. I think what was telling today, and I think this sort of skips into what Jagmeet Singh was sort of going on about, was, you mean, on Twitter you saw, like, with Adam Vaughn and people chatting to people who had talked about scams, I mean, like, yeah, like, the strongly worded language of the government actually does play into a sort of scam territory in terms of making people very afraid of the CERB and the CRA program, instead of talking about you're going to have to pay it back. If you're not eligible, you're not keeping the money. We knew that. That's what's happening. But this really strongly worded language actually sort of strikes some fear into people that do have the program, but now are sort of open to either, oh my gosh, are they still eligible? Are they going to be going to jail because they've been actually receiving support from the government? So I don't see this fine being labeled at a lot of people, but I mean, cool if it makes them feel tougher on crime, then good for them.
Let's move on to, while the GTA is remaining in phase one. We learned today from the premier and the education minister, daycares everywhere in Ontario will be allowed to reopen. As of Friday, aside from the obvious logic to this, will kids behave? Will we feel safe sending kids back to daycare? We're looking at the numbers. They are 10, which will include staff. And one of the concerns, obviously, from parents would have been overcrowding inside of those daycares. The education minister said that probably not going to be a problem.
Well, I think one of the assumptions we're making based on feedback is that not all parents will send their children to child care centers. So we believe we'll have sufficient capacity to enable parents to utilize child care should they need it, given if they're returning to work as part of the stage two reopening. I should also note that home care will continue to be provided through this period.
Now, I know this is going to come as an incredible surprise to you both, Marika, starting with you, but we spoke with the Association of Daycare Operators of Ontario, who are saying today that they've basically had no consultation. They've basically had no guidance as to what the regulations are going to be, and they know there's going to be compliance officers going around. They're not exactly sure what they have to comply to. And the original date that we had talked about with them today was June the 19th. They feel this might be a bit rushed and that there's probably no chance that a lot of daycares will even open on Friday, despite the fact that they have been open. So I'm curious as to hear what you're hearing today.
Yeah, I have friends that also work in the daycare and private school sector, and they were very confused by some of the rules. The rules, in some ways it makes sense that even though Toronto is still in stage one, the province would look to opening daycares because it's so critical to the rest of the economy, right? To have women working, and it's this constant tug of war of risk analysis between health and the economy, and both have impacts on people's lives. But I think there is a lot of confusion around how quickly this has turned around and how even the physical infrastructure of some of these daycares will operate. You know, with 10 people, including staff, well, if you're in a toddler or infant class, you need like 4 staff in that group then to cover off breaks while keeping your ratios. So things are going to get very expensive very quickly for these operators. And I'm also curious how many staff will be willing to come back in these conditions.
Trevor?
Yeah, I mean, I spent a fair bit of time chatting to a lot of friends who work in the sector as well this afternoon, and they were pretty frustrated because, as Marika said, like this is a big change in their operating procedures and protocols, not only in terms of like of safety, in terms of, I mean, dealing with who's actually going to be coming back from a child sort of level and the ratios there, but then there needs to be directors and supervisors need to figure out new staffing levels. Training for staff has not, because the rules had actually not been listed out in a large runway. You have 3 days. That's not a very large amount of time to sort of retrain and reorient staff in pretty important protocols. So I think it's great that we're actually putting plans in place to actually get this going again. It's necessary. It's needed. A lot of people are crying for it. But I think this sort of echoes a lot of things that are actually happening with the province right now, is that they feel like they're doing it. They're patting themselves on the back, but they're not actually talking with people on the front lines and actually understanding what type of runway is actually needed to get things going again. And it's not going to be able to done in 3 days. But all that's going to lead to is frustration by parents who are going to be ticked off, being like, what do you mean it's not open on Friday? The government said it was going to be open on Friday, or just mass confusion. And so I think that's a little bit of a miss today.
Big news today that came out. Those that were considered selfish and dangerous for packing into Trinity Bellwoods Park, apparently there was no actual outbreak linked to it. We had the City of Toronto basically confirming that while this big gathering took place and everyone was up in arms calling them COVIDiots and all other kinds of news, that they have yet to trace any considerable spike. And in fact, our numbers continue to go down. Even with that happening, our expert, Dr. Shikarwi, came on and actually said this.
There are more than enough case reports of other large crowds, whether it's parades or concerts or some other event, that certainly did spawn spikes in infection during the pandemic. So I don't think we want to take the attitude that there was absolutely nothing wrong with that display and that everybody can pile into as many parks as they want because nothing happened from Trinity Bellwoods. I think that would be a dangerous attitude to adopt.
So, you know, I don't think we're calling for major concerts anytime soon, but what this does tell me is maybe we could trust the public a little more to engage in parks and other public activities. Marika, what do you think this says about sort of the mixed messaging we're receiving from government?
I think that, I mean, this and you know, the changes from the WHO today and yesterday on asymptomatic spread all speak to this question that the public is having a harder and harder time having faith in government messaging because of these changes and because sometimes then the facts don't bear out from previous statements. I think, though, that also we in the public and also in media and journalism are much more used to governments having much more information and clear understanding of what they are dealing with. And this is a brand new virus that they are learning on the fly as they're also addressing it. And so that doesn't get decision makers off the hook. But I do think that we in the public need to remember that this is a new type of messaging and information management than we're used to from past crises.
So Trevor, Marika has a point there, as does my dog barking in the background. Do you think we should let government off the hook a little bit more about messaging around this as things are evolving so quickly?
In some ways, yes. So let's also like put this in context. So the risk of spread in large social gatherings outdoors is obviously less. I think that's not a surprise to anyone. Specifically with the Trinity Bellwoods incident, that happened outdoors, fine. But we also had Toronto Public Health and other people not encouraging any of those people to actually get tested post-Trinity Bellwoods, right? So the problem is the way we actually track testing, we do contact testing specifically in Ontario. There's actually no way to know if it did or did not. We didn't see our numbers go up and spike as a total on provincial cases, but there's no way to actually trace it back if Trinity Bellwoods actually did or did not. So that's an important thing in terms of actually how we track the cases there. I will say, though, it's getting really tough to know, right? Listen, I want to go outside. I love like going in parks and hanging with friends. I cannot wait for patio season. The challenge is the government's starting to lose their authority to actually be able to deliver communication, have people actually trust what they're saying. We can't go to parks for public safety. Okay, we get it. But then we find out actually there's a lot of and or ifs or asterisks on that. That's problematic. And so I worry about that because, I mean, we've talked about second waves. We've seen in other jurisdictions like religious gatherings or birthday parties and things like that have actually led to increasing contact spread. But the problem is we're now at a point where people are just sort of over it. And you're now starting to get these mixed messages from different governmental bodies. And I worry that people are now just going to say, well, I can't trust them. I don't see them in front of my face. Let's move on.
Yeah, I think Trevor's right that is the big concern going forward. I mean, the thing is that we saw so many of the big group gatherings at the beginning of this were inside, right? Because it was the winter. And so I wonder how much of this has to do with now people being in big groups outside. I guess the next test is what happens from all these protests that we saw in the last week.
Yeah, and hopefully there's the urging for testing and contact tracing that comes out of that, but we haven't heard anything about that either, so clearly there hasn't been. Great discussion. Trevor Mayo, Marika Walsh, thank you so much. Have a wonderful night.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers,
take care.
Take care.